certainly a blessing to be here. Thank the Lord for his mercy and grace. I really appreciate Brother Ennis and this great church. I'm glad for the labor of love, the sacrifice through the years. And I appreciate what God's done through him, don't you?
Amen.
I'm glad to be saved today. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm born again. I'll be in the family of God here this morning. And I'm as nervous as I've ever been in my life. And I'm glad that the Lord's able to help us, aren't you?
Amen.
I remember the day that God came by and found me when I was in my sin, lost and undone without God. I'm glad that he loves sinners. And I'm glad he cares about us. I'm glad he knows where we are and what we have need of here this morning. My burden today, really, is that the Lord would help us in this great hour to see something done in our nation. And I believe it was a time, ladies and gentlemen, when the church had a great influence on the community and in our country, don't you? And it's a shame and disgrace that we're going to have an amendment put on the North Carolina Constitution just to describe what marriage is all about. Isn't that amazing that our country's got that bad a shape? And I tell you, I'm glad for old-time churches and what God can do for our life. And what the Lord has done for us. And I really want you to turn with me this morning. Look in the book of Psalms for a minute. Psalm 86. And I want you to turn there. Actually, Psalm 85. I want you to turn there. Stand to your feet just for a moment. Brother Ennis, how long do I have here this morning, brother?
30 to 40 minutes. All
right, 30 to 40 minutes. And is that Kentucky time or is that your time? All right. Racehorse time. My wife asked somebody a question the other day before I preached. She said, how long is a cotton picking mitt? Depends on where you start and where you finish, ain't that right? So look at Psalm 85. Look what the Bible said. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast, the Bible said, covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Here's our quit the problem, ladies and gentlemen. Turn us, O God, of our salvation and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord would speak, for he'll speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and he and shall set us in the way of his steps. You can be seated, Father. I want to thank you this morning for your loving mercy. Thank you for the dear men of God that are here and, Lord, their ministries and the ladies here and the labor of love. And, Lord, we certainly need your help today. I pray God should give great liberty to every man of God that preaches. And, Lord, tonight for the service, I pray you draw some folk in. And, dear Lord, that lady from Virginia that they've been praying for, I pray God you might save her. Lord, send the power of God down upon our land. Lord, we surely need revival. Lord, if we ever needed help from heaven, Lord, in this dark, wicked hour which we live, would you not revive these men of God and stir their heart and their people again? Would the Lord, may you just rend the heaven, oh God, and come down and visit one more time. Make this the best services they've ever had at the church. And Lord, may revival break out and continue on. And Lord, may this community hear and know that there's a God that dwells among his people. I pray you'd bind the devil and give great liberty now. Help thy servant, and we'll surely thank you and praise you and bless you. For ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. I want to preach on the subject this morning by the help of God. I want you to look at the word again. It comes up in this great psalm. And the word I want you to notice in here is that God, in some time back, in the heart and mind of this great psalmist, he said that you'd done this for me once before, but would you not just simply do it again? I would to God that the Lord would take us all back where he found us at, that we could get stirred up once again about how good it is just to be saved by the grace of God. You ain't always carried a Bible to church, and you ain't always had the grace of God in your heart, but aren't you glad, thank God, that there was a time that God come looking for you, and you didn't know nothing about it, but I can tell you exactly where it took place at and what God done in my heart that day, that I got saved by the marvelous grace of God. I should have been in hell. I should be right now burning in the pits of hell, but I'm glad, thank God, the only fire that I feel in my heart, my life today, is a fire that's burning down in my soul. I'm glad I'm born again, aren't you? And I'm happy to be saved by the grace of God. I wish that God would carry some of you preachers back behind that old saw log where you used to pray and get a hold of God, and God come on your heart, and you'd bounce a pulpit with fire and go glory back in your soul, that people would know that our God is still alive and real in this day. Son, I'm telling you, revival. I went to Brother Seitler's school, so don't hold that against him, all right? I remember being there. Let me tell this to you right quick, and I'm going to preach a minute. I remember being there, and there was a time that I really did not know a whole lot about shouting. I didn't know much about this old-time worship. Hadn't been saved long. Been saved about 6 months, Brother Whitlow, and God sent me off down to Greenville, South Carolina. And I got in that great church, and there he was. I mean, that stately man of God mount that pulpit, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I believe that old man of God was in touch with heaven, and every once in a while, he'd start with a text, and son, he'd get somewhere beyond the text, and God would show up. He said, "Don't you blame me, brother. I started with the text." And about that time, them old-time saints of God, they'd get happy in the house of the Lord. And there's a fellow in there by the name of Brother Skelton. And I could not figure this out for the life of me, why he'd get up, brethren, and put a handkerchief on his head. You remember Brother Whitlow, and walk around the house of God and rub his old head and shout and run. I thought, is that really necessary for somebody to do all of that stuff? I thought, really, unto God, is that what we supposed to do? And son, he'd just shout and cry and weep all around that house of God. And that old man of God, he'd raise that old arm up. He'd say something like this, "Help thyself, my brother. Go ahead and help yourself." He said, "My soul, we on radio, but don't blame us. God showed up. God showed up." And son, I wondered what all that's all about. And so I cut hair before I got saved. And there was a children's home, and there's a fella by. Y'all remember the Burns Trio? Oh, yeah. You remember old Pappy Burns? Oh, yeah. I used to cut his hair sitting in that wheelchair. And I wanted to know, sir, I was inquisitive. I wanted to know. I said, what makes that old fella walk around the house of God and rub his old bald head and shout around the house of God? And when I said that, old brother Pappy Burns, the old withered up arm preacher got up in the air. Tears got to running out of his face. He had a look in his eye outside this old world, and he hooked up with that God that him and Brother Skelton knew about. I said, "I didn't mean to upset you, Daddy." He said, "You didn't upset him, preacher. He's in glory. He's in the glory right now." I said, "Whatever they got, whatever they're talking about, I want some of that, praise God." You remember our churches used to have people that cry, walk around and shout and have a good time in the house. And come on now. And we don't need to be dignified. We need to get back where it all started at, that God's going to work in our heart. And so I found out, let me tell you this, and I'm going to preach right quick. I got about, what, a cotton picking minute, I think that's right. Well, listen to what I'm telling you. I hope this will help you. Listen, they just about shamed us out of our old time religion. They just about talked us out of prayer meetings. They just about talked us out of preaching. I'm going to tell you what's right. What worked back in that generation, honey, it still worked today. It'll get the job done when nothing else will, praise God. So I found out what made that old man rub his head, walk around the house of God. Here's what I found out. Well, back when they started that church, brethren, they got on their knees and crawled all the way in that building.
That's right.
And when they started having children, war broke out. And here's what the old man of God said. Bring all the kids up, all the boys up. Let's lay our hands on them. Let God bring our youngest back home safe from the war and the battlefield. Well, one by one they went off, preacher. And one by one they started coming back. And everybody's son made it back home but Brother Skelton. And for years, he'd get those letters from the State Department, missing in action. They couldn't find POW. They don't know where he's at. And night after night, Brother Skelton and his wife would wonder, where's my boy? Lord, won't you let me find where my boy's at? If I could just find him, if they could just bring his body home, if we could have closure. And night after night, the old man of God preach about faith, holding on, hang in there, God to do something. And now here's what happened. They got so weak and so tired. Now here's what they said. He said, I ain't going to pray no more, honey. I'm so tired of praying, God not doing anything. And so they turned the lights off. And she said, this ain't right. You heard what the preacher said. If you'll just call on God, God may help us tonight. And he said, all right. They locked arms. Preacher called, said, obey. And they prayed, Lord, if he's really all right, if you could do something for me before the sun comes up in the morning, whether he's dead or alive, it's going to be all right. He was saved. But I wish you'd let me know where he's at and what's going on. Well, ladies and gentlemen, about 4 o'clock in the morning, outside their window, their bedroom, there was a knock on that window. And he said, I heard you hear that? And she said, yeah. He said, are you going to turn the light on? He said, no. And she said, well, why not turn the light on? He said, all right. And so they turned the light on. Listen, brethren. And she said, are you going to pull that blind up so we can see what's going on? He said, I don't know. About that time, he reached over and pulled that blind up, standing out there in the darkness of the night. Right through the light of that window was that boy saluting back into the house. I'm glad I got a God that can hear and answer prayer. Don't you understand now why old Brother Skelton rub his whole head and run through the house of God and shout and have himself a good time? Oh, God, revive us again. Do it again, Lord, and work in our heart, praise God. We all got needs. We all got needs. But I'm glad I got a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Wouldn't it be good God to do it again? That's what I want to preach about today. If God will help me, Lord, just do it again. Whatever that again is in your life that you had before, I wish he'd fill you up. And you just get some bubbling over, and you and him scrunch up together in that pew, and before you go out there and have your lunch today, you and God be eating that hidden manna, and the glory of God get down in your soul, and faith get back in your heart to believe God for impossible things in your life. Lord, do it again. See, God cannot help sinners until he helps the saints. Some of you walk in the house of God there and you believe. You're faithful, but you're loaded down with troubles. You're loaded down with worry. Somebody said gasoline, about $4 a gallon. Well, can I tell you what the old man of God taught me? He said this, preacher. He said God has to put the angels on half ration and starve every one of them out yonder in heaven. And failed to feed every fish in the sea. He said he will not let one of his faithful children that are tithing, and doing right go without what they need. So cheer up, saints of God, what you got to worry about. Our God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He ain't dead, he's alive. He can take care of the needs in your life. So that's hard to believe that when you need a tank of gas and ain't got none.
Amen.
Aren't you glad God can help us? I tell you what we need as saints. First of all, God needs to stir up our heart. He needs to stir you about what he's done for your life.
Amen.
I mean, will you not revive us? Revive us. Revive us again. Have you ever been happy? Me and Brother Rick Lowe, Billy Whitlow go back a long way. And we've had some running times and shouting fits. And we went on radio station. You want to get somebody stirred up on the radio, get that fella right yonder and get me in there with him. Turn us loose about 30 minutes. I promise you one thing, something to get shook loose somehow or another. You liable to blow a fuse around there. Y'all hear me now? I've seen it get so full up there in Kentucky. You want to talk about Kentucky? Son, they get up on the table, shout it out, have a good time, and just have a time in God.
Yeah.
And people, well, you remember, don't you, Brother Whitlow?
Yeah.
Take a running spell, climb out there on the bushes, climb on top of the house of God, and shout, dear God, for 35 or 40 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
You said, have you lost your mind? No, sir, I ain't lost my mind. I just thank God over what God done for my life and where God found me, what God done for my soul. I wouldn't get too excited if I was you. Your sins are gone. If I was you, I wouldn't get too excited about it now. You're just going to live as long as God lives. If I was you, I wouldn't even say amen. I wouldn't even raise my hand, smile, let my face know that something took place in my heart. I tell you why. Because you're going to live in a mansion fit for a king, praise God. Well, you're going to get a brand new body. You're going to get to sit down with our Lord. I'm telling you, y'all hearing me now? Was a time saints got it happy about what God done for their life. I guess I better go ahead and preach since I'm here. I ain't going to preach much longer, but listen to me. I got to come down to where you are so you can see me. I'm getting old. I can't see good. Some of that outfit over I tried to preach over there brought me a sign the other day and said, old age ain't for sissies. I don't know what they're trying to tell me, toughen up or something, I reckon. I don't know. Well, I remember preaching out in Mississippi. Now, Mississippi people are different from Kentucky people. They ain't nothing like folks up here in North Carolina. I mean, they're just a little bit different, all right? I'm going to tell you something. We was out there, and that man of God, like everybody else, got cold and backslid on God, and he just needed stirring up from the Lord. And so he told me this story. Here's what happened, preacher. There was a drunk in that town that he wouldn't see him for a long time. He'd go and see him on Friday. He'd go see him, sir, on Saturday. And begged that fella to come to church. But that guy lied to him time and time again, and he quit going to see him. And he didn't want to go back and bother with him no more. But he said, God stirred my heart and said, you just need to remember where I found you and get back out yonder that vineyard and try to get that man back to church. Well, he went out there, and finally, here's what happened. After about 2 years of not going, he went and seen him. And there was that old drunk sitting there, and here's what that man said. He said, I was fixing to take my life this morning because I thought, surely, if God and the preacher give up on me, there ain't no hope for nobody like me. But he said, I'm going to tell you something, preacher. If you'll come in the morning and pick me up, I promise you that I'll be ready, and I want to come to church. And so the preacher said, now you've lied to me all these years. And don't you lie to me about tomorrow. I'm going to come and get you now. So the preacher got up like most of us do, hurry up on Sunday morning and try to get to church, got to church, and the Sunday school thing started happening. And he said, oh, my Lord, I forgot to go pick him up. He made announcements at the church and said, listen, it's going to take me a while to go get him. Y'all just keep singing until I get back. And if I don't get back before you quit singing, sing some more. So he gets there and preaches and picks and pulls up in the driveway. There he is, shirt's ironed, got a suit on, nothing matches, socks don't even match, hair combed. He's sitting there sitting, preacher, I thought you were going to forget about me this morning. He said, no, he said, I just running late, so he got him in the car. And he got up to the house of God. He walked up there and said, on the front pew. And the preacher walked up in the pulpit. Now it's church time. And he said, Lord, what am I going to preach on today? My mind's like mush. I don't even know what to do. He said, the Lord said to him, just preach on Calvary. Tell him where God found you at. Tell him about the blood of Jesus. And he got to preaching about second gear that morning, ladies and gentlemen. And that old drunk got up. And he walked right over and got underneath that communion table on the left side and got to crying out to a thrice holy God. Got up and sat back down. And the preacher's still trying to preach. Back that time, here's what happened. He said, excuse me, preacher, I need to say something right here. Well, a newborn babe will do anything, don't you reckon? And here's what he said, brethren, listen to me. I want you to hear me. Lord, please do it again. He said, well, preacher, you know me. I used to be the biggest drunk in town. He said, you've seen me underneath bridges. I've seen the name of my mom and my daddy. He said, I've seen the name of my family. He said, church, I'm embarrassed to tell you where I said what God done. I'm ashamed of what I was. He said, but right here, just a minute ago, it all got washed away. I'm glad I'm saved. Praise God. And he sat down. He said, now go ahead and preach, preacher. Help yourself. What? And the preacher said, what would you think? Praise God. And the preacher started to preach again, sir. And you can hear him grinding them gears, getting another gear, start to preach. About that time, that old drunk son said, excuse me, preacher, I need to say something else. He said, you know me. I should be the biggest drunk in town. He said, but when are me and you going to go do to them what you've been doing to me? Now, I'll tell you what our problem is. We know all the theology. We know all the doctrine. But we got away from the delight of just being saved by the grace of God and what God done for our heart. I got a cotton picking minute, I'm going to finish. Watch this. So it come time, brethren, for visitation to start. Well, the preacher would have to go pick him up. And here's what he'd do, preacher, before he'd get in the car. He said, now, preacher, before you crank that car, I got to say something. He said, you know me. I used to be the biggest drunk in town. He said, but Sunday morning, I come to church, I got saved. He said, you might get killed in the car wreck today. I might die before we get to church. He said, I just want to tell you I love you. I want to tell you I'm glad you come and got me. Let's go to church, preacher. So he cranked the car, went on to church, went up there, and they got to start the prayer off, go out visitation. He said, now, boys, wait a minute before we say anything, before we pray. You folks know me. I used to be the biggest drunk in town. He said, but that preacher come and got me. I lied to him. He come and got me, but finally I came. He said, y'all was there that Sunday morning, and I got saved up at the church. He said, we can pray now, can't we? So they started to pray. They started to leave. They started to leave from the room. He said, wait a minute, brethren, before we leave. You know me. Some of you might get killed before we get back. The Lord may come. He said, I used to be the biggest drunk in town. He said, but I put on that altar, I got saved. I just want to thank the preacher for coming and getting me. I want to thank you men for keeping the lights on. I want to thank you for keeping the church going. I'm glad nobody quit on God. When I needed God, y'all are still here. And you're still around church. And I'm saved today. He said, now I guess we can go, can't we, preacher? Get out in the car. I'm telling you what the man of God told me. Get out in the car. Sit down. He starts to crank the car. He said, don't you start that car yet. He said, you know me. I used to be the biggest drunk in this community. He said, I was headed to hell. I was lost as I could be. But preacher, if you get killed today, I just want to let you know I'm so glad you come. I'm glad I got saved. He said, can we pray for you, crank this car? Watch this. Now they're out visitation. My name's preacher so-and-so, such Baptist church. He said, excuse me, just a minute. Preacher, I need to say something. I'm not kidding you now. Ma'am, I want to apologize to you and your family. You know me. You know my family. Y'all seen me. I'm sure y'all seen me. Y'all probably mocked and you probably did right. And I wasted my life. I was the biggest drunk in town. He said, but that preacher in that church, they kept enough burden And they kept a coming. And just a couple Sundays back, I got saved on that altar. And I just want you to have what I got. He said, now go ahead and tell him, preacher. And when the preacher gets to the place, he's ready to call. Look, leave, Brother Ricky. This guy says, give me, preacher, before we leave. I got to say something, ma'am. I need to say something to you. He'd say it again. Tears run off his face. Get out in the car before they crank the car. Preacher, he'd say it again. Tears run down his face. He lived 6 months. 6 months. You know what that man of God said? He got more people in church in 6 months. And everybody else he had in his church in all the 20 years he pastored. Now what makes the difference? I'm going to tell you what makes the difference. What God done for him, he didn't get over. Remember when it was real to you? Remember when you sung in the choir for the first time and you got to singing and God welled up in your heart and God blessed your soul? That's back when the church had the glory and the touch and the power of God in her life. And now we get so mechanical, we forget about who we're serving and what God done for our life. Lord, just do it again. My wife's a quiet woman. She really is. I mean, she can preach at home because she got license to do that. She can't do it at church. I'm glad God don't call women to preach. It wouldn't be nothing but blood and guts everywhere. Oh, Brother Marvin, where you at, Brother Marvin? Now watch this, brethren. I kept telling my wife, one of these days it's going to get on you like it did me. Oh, no, not me. No. And people try to suppress that. It's the joy unspeakable and full of glory that wells up in us. Brother Marvin then was singing. And I'm on the altar praying. About that time, in that little old church over there, preacher, I heard some woman have a Comanche war whoop. Wow! I'm saying, Lord, touch them. Lord, bless them, God. I don't know who they are, but Lord, please help them. Next thing I know, they took off again, crying in a shout. Well, I got home that night, and here's what my wife said, brother. I'm closing now. She said, did you hear that woman shouting tonight? I said, I sure did. She said, you know who that was?
Oh, yeah.
I said, Mom, honey, I don't have a ID. She said, it was me. And she said, it's just exactly like you said. She said, it got on me so much, it got in my feet, got all over me. Yeah. And I just had to let it go. All these years, I held it back. But I just wanted to let him know I'm glad I'm saved. Well, she ain't quit shouting since then. It's all Brother Marvin's fault. Well, thank you, preacher. I just want to give you out of my heart. I believe we need revival, don't you?
Amen.
I believe God needs to help our church. Get joy back in your heart. The joy of the Lord's our strength. And when you don't have joy, you don't have strength. If you get over the blessing of being saved, I'm telling you, brethren, have you gone too far? We need to get back where it all took place. God stir up the saints. God starts saving sinners. Are y'all hearing me now?